I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is the Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Hello, Pamela. Welcome back to the Daily Dish.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
I know. I miss seeing you around. I know that we had scheduled drinks right before the pandemic hit, like last March. And then we were like, okay, maybe we should reschedule for 2 weeks or so. And then those 2 weeks became like a full year. So we still owe each other drinks.
Yes. I know, we still do. It's funny because I was in Miami at the time, you know, for Family Karma premiere party. And thank goodness I jumped on that plane when I did, because little did we know what was about to happen.
I know. And here we are all this time later. But you know what? We're surviving.
We are.
Well, before we get into it, just remind our listeners who you are and what you do here at Bravo.
So I am one of the VPs of Current. What that means, I run several shows on Bravo, one including Below Deck with Captain Lee, Housewives of New Jersey, Family Karma, was doing Cash Cab, helping out on development. But anything that's current on Bravo, I work along with other VPs in the department.
That's right. Yeah, I think you work closely with Noah, correct?
Yes. Noah
yes,
Sampson.
We've had Noah on the show. A lot of our fans remember him from giving us some teasers for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City before that premiered. So a lot of our listeners loved those episodes. Well, yeah, I mean, while we have you, I mean, I definitely want to dig into this season of Real Housewives of New Jersey, because this season has been epic so far and the fan response has been just so crazy. And, you know, one of the things that I do love about this season is that it's the same cast. And I feel like these women all work together so well. So maybe just touch a little bit to get started on, you know, bringing the same cast back this year and just, you know, why these women work so well together.
You know, the women do work well together. I have to say they bring something different to the table, not only culturally, but, you know, Melissa and Teresa fit the old school family ties from, you know, seasons past. Jackie, although new to the group, as Jennifer is new to the group, they bring a different type of culture, religion, and also just upbringing too, which we kind of go through season to season. And we tap into that with the Turkish culture, the Jewish culture, mixing in with, you know, our old school Italians. And I think that is a true ensemble, because we are all friends with different people, different backgrounds. We're diverse in our own different nature. And I think it's very important. Margaret as well, you know, even though she is near Jackie's Tenafly area, she also brings, you know, the Eastern European portion of it. And I think it's fascinating because at the end of the day, they're all living in New Jersey, but are bringing something new to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. The Marge. We love the Marge.
The Marge.
Well, let's go back to the start of the season, because obviously the big explosive moment, premiere episode, Jackie and Teresa, and number one, the rumor about Evan. Number two, the analogy. So talk about when you first saw what was going down in the very first episode. How did you react?
I was taken back like everyone else. Normally, I would be there as well during Dave's filming, but because of COVID, you know, we wanted to keep our footprints smaller. So that means smaller teams, less people on the field, less people shooting. So I didn't know that this went down until after it did. And I was shocked. I was taken back. But at the same time, it's information that, you know, Teresa probably had or didn't have at one point, or maybe heard it, or, you know, spoke about it among the women at some point. I really can't say I wasn't there. So that's the unfortunate part of it. Shocked I was. It's a little hard to tell, you know, or talk about, because both women right now have been hurting. Jackie was hurting. Teresa was hurting in terms of what, you know, Jackie's response was. These are two women that bring two different POVs. And I felt for both of them. I felt really bad for both of them. Jackie, obviously, because it was Evan's birthday party and this was said during his birthday party. But I'm not sure, you know, it's really hard for me to comment on it because I truly feel that although shocking, I was saddened by it as well because it's hurtful for her. It's hurtful for Teresa as well about the analogy that was being said by Jackie. Jackie was devastated when she found out everything that you see in the episode is documented. You know, we really follow day to day on what the women are going through. And as you see, Jackie did not go to the Lake George trip. And that was something that she felt she needed to remove herself from her friends to kind of fix herself.
Right.
And I, for one, wouldn't have joined either because if you're hurting, it just makes it worse. So I think she did what she had to do. I think her decision of not going in that moment was the right decision for her.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, going back to the analogy specifically, I'd love to hear your perspective on the whole kids being off limits, you know, and that's sort of a blanket housewives rule that we've heard for so long. And as from a producer standpoint, what's your take on that? And is there a difference if the kids are adults, if they're grownups?
I feel like anytime there is a disparaging statement, kids, adults, it's not fair game. Being a mother myself, I wouldn't, you know, I become mama bear too. So I could see Teresa's anger in that and her hurt by that. I do get that Jackie was looking at it to try to do a comparison in terms of like, look how you hurt me. That's like, if I said this, you know, Jackie was angry. And so was Teresa. And like I said, it's two women that were hurt and had their own POV on the situation. That's really my take. And yes, we should not bring children into play. But again, I don't think that it was coming from a malice place at all.
Right, right. Well, like you had mentioned earlier too, Jackie, you know, took a break from filming through Lake George and understandably so. I think she probably wanted to be with her family and deal with all of that. So when you found out she wasn't going to be going on the Lake George trip, what went through your mind? Were you concerned? Were you understanding?
I was understanding. She actually called me that weekend when all this went down. Like I said, I wasn't there during the event. I would have been there. She did call me. She was very upset. I explained to her that whatever decision she wanted to make, that we would support her on. I think she made the right decision in not involving herself in the group. She needed some time to regroup herself and her thoughts and her emotions. But this is why I do feel that we capture the organicness of the show. Like this is what was happening. We gave her, you know, we are just capturing her decision-making. I wanted her to understand that I supported her feelings and I supported Teresa's feelings. You know how it is. It's like when there's two, you know, quote unquote friends of yours that are arguing, you don't want to really get in the middle. You want them, they're adults. They have to come to a decision on their own. All you could do is listen. And sometimes we become that sounding board, that listening to get them to a place of understanding.
Right. We know that Jackie was saying a lot at this time, too, that she was mostly upset because Evan was upset. So did you speak to Evan at all through this process or was it all through Jackie?
It was all through Jackie. I mean, there's a level of, you know, the door was open there, but I think, you know, I'm not connected to Evan. I'm connected to Jackie. And I do feel sometimes that it's better that, you know, she knows her husband better than I do. So all I could do is listen and give words of advice and let them know that we support them.
Yeah. Yeah. At every step of the way, we're here. Let us know. We'll keep telling your story, but do what you got to do. Right. See, this is what people are like, is reality TV real? This is as real as it gets.
It's as real as it gets. I mean, you'll see fast forward where she decides, and I don't know if you want to jump ahead, but she decides to do kind of a redo party for Evan. And that was something that she came to us about. And I said, you know, Noah and I talked about it, and we wanted her to do what made her feel right.
Yeah. And she immediately went to Melissa and Joe too at the redo party and was like, look, I'm sorry about what I said, you know, about your niece. Yes. I was making an analogy. You know, she went right to yes. them and made sure to address it head on. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, I appreciate that as well. I think that, again, I don't think there was malice against Gia at all. Gia is a very smart woman, young woman who's, you know, in college and trying to make her way. And unfortunately, sometimes we get folded into what our, you know, family members are doing. And I think that Jackie is aware that, you know, Gia's an upstanding person in the community. And it wasn't to disparage her name. I truly believe that. And I think Jackie went straight to, you know, like you said, Melissa and Joe, and said, look, this is nothing against your niece. You know, she did what she had to do at that moment.
Yeah. I also just loved the toast that Jackie gave at Evan's
redo.
Yeah. I mean, I was just like, what better way to deal with it than just to like really put the spin on it, make it a joke, and just that, you know, it's easy to move forward after that if you can kind of laugh about it.
Yeah. And you know what? I feel like they were a united couple. They came in together. And as you'll see in the show as well, you know, they come in as, hey, we have each other's back. And so does Teresa with her family. She does that with Gia, with, you know, her daughters. Like, the one thing I have to say is that, you know, Teresa loves her girls and is a true mama bear. And I'm similar to in that sense, where it's like, you want to protect your cubs. And that's what makes Teresa who she is. She is a great mom.
Yeah, no, that is very true. And, you know, I did the after show with the cast, and I remember so many times in conversations I was having with Teresa for the after show, she would always, always bring it back to the girls. Like, everything that she does, every choice that she makes is with her girls in mind. And, you know, having her say all of that and have that conversation, I really understood her in a different way, you know?
And that's the thing. I think we need to look at, again, that's why I do adore Jersey, not only because it's my show, but it's because they're very different. It's each of them are very different, but very the same. What ties them together is family. What ties them together is being moms. What ties them together is being businesswomen. And they all bring that to the table, but they bring a different point of view.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
And that's what I adore about this particular franchise.
Yeah, I mean, same. And I feel like we speak for a lot of fans of this show for saying exactly the same. Well, let's get down to the Jersey Shore, because you yes. want to talk family, you want to talk Teresa. I mean, this dinner party at Frank and Dolores' place?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I mean, what the hell? So, you know, it just all of a sudden becomes this huge thing. So it kind of starts with a little back and forth about Joe Giudice. And, you know, for you working on the show and Joe not being there, but still being so much a part of the story and kind of having an impact on Teresa's relationship with Joe and Melissa, talk a little bit about that and why it was so tense for them at this time.
It was tense because, you know, if you remember the reunion, it was brought up about the topic of Teresa's divorce and if Joe, her ex-husband, would go after some money that Teresa would have. And, you know, the conversation was brought up now that her divorce was being finalized, was like, hey guys, look, you thought he was coming after me for money, and he's not. So eat your words, kind of a thing. You know, Joe got really upset by that because he felt that Teresa kept defending her ex-husband instead of defending what he was trying to say to her, that, no, I'm here to protect you. And I think it's just been years of building,
yeah,
Eric. I think it's years of like this animosity that they both had, you know, as you know, the family history. And it just got to a point where Joe wanted to tell her, stop defending your ex-husband. You need to defend your family. And it just blew up into this moment of, you know, his resentment towards Teresa's ex.
Yeah. Oh, and you know what else? What else I kind of saw in that moment too with Joe Gorga in particular was anger, but probably grief. You know, they had just lost their dad. I mean, their mom only passed away a few years ago as well. So I think there was still a lot of not just resentment, but, you know, there was grief that they were both dealing with. And sometimes that turns into anger.
Well, that's a good point because, you know, one of the events that they were going to was Nono's celebration of life. And mixed emotions, being at the shore, history, resentment, anger, you know, it's a lot of buildup. And that's what I meant. It's like years and years and years. They didn't have a proper goodbye because of, you know, what the world is like right now. And I think that in a way, it was actually a good thing for Joe to blow up the way he did, to get that all out and then move past it. But it led on, as you see, it led on from one thing to the next to the next. And it was a sight to see.
Right, right. Well, so yeah, we have that going on between Teresa, Joe, and Melissa, but also at the same time, we have Teresa bringing up, well, Joe Benigno heard the rumor too. And then we got Jackie bawling her eyes out. We got Margaret yelling. I mean, so talk a little bit about the Joe Benigno of it all and why Teresa maybe felt compelled to bring that up and if that really proved anything, I guess.
I mean, I don't think it proved anything. You saw that they were having this conversation at poker night and he was repeating a conversation that the boys were having, which honestly, you know what they say, what stays in Vegas, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens at poker night should happen at poker night. And I think it was an honest discussion that the boys were having and it was taken out of context.
Right. And that's kind of Bill's fault because he's the one who brought it back to Jennifer. And then Jennifer brought that to everybody else.
Well, so. I don't know if it was Bill's fault. Let's just say there's, you know, husbands and wives talk about a lot of things. Like there's pillow talk in a lot of places. So I think that it just got messy.
Yeah, it got messy and it escalated very quickly and everyone was like freaking out. And then luckily things kind of settled down, which was crazy to think that this big explosion happened that night. And then the next day Evan was coming, which I was kind of worried about how that was going to go. We see Dolores say that right to Frank at one point. She's like, I'm not sure what intentions Evan is coming with. So talk a little bit about Teresa's apology to Jackie and Evan, because, you know, there wasn't quite an I'm sorry in there, but it definitely was Teresa's way of trying to make amends, right?
Yeah, I think also Teresa seeing how emotional and angry her brother was and how this brought them back into like a place of darkness. I think Teresa just wanted to let it go and move on.
Yeah.
I think her brother, Joe, really got her to a place like nothing matters anymore. We lost our parents. Like, let's just move on and enjoy the shore.
Right.
I think that Teresa might've been feeling, you know, upset about what maybe caused the rift between Evan and Jackie, but also to try to just make peace. So it was her way of apologizing, if that makes any sense.
Right. It makes sense to Teresa. So we have to just accept it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
As a producer, were you happy to finally see this put to bed as well?
Yes, I was. I'm like, please, let's just move on with all this, please. At the end of the day, no one was going to win in the sense of one person thought this, the other person thought that, one thought it was a rumor, one didn't think it was a rumor. It was just too much. And I think that Jackie and Evan are a great couple. I don't see any issues with them. I didn't want Teresa to hurt by what was said about Gia. And I just wanted to make everyone just enjoy the shore and move past this.
Yeah. And it seemed like everybody did. I mean, just a few hours later, Teresa's over here taking pictures of Jackie and Evan on the boat. And I'm like, well, that was quick. You know, like, but it's good.
No, it is good. It is good. I mean, this is what happens. It happens among friends all the time. Something happens and there's repercussions and people's feelings get hurt and you talk it through and you discuss and you move on.
Yeah, that's what we love about these shows. Also at the shore, there is a situation once again between Jennifer and Margaret. And it seems like the two of them are just constantly clashing over each other's life choices. Why do you think this is?
you know, we really try to peel back some of the layers when it comes to Marge and Jennifer. You know, Jennifer currently is going through a big situation with her parents. You know, her father's not living at home with her mom. He is living with her. Jennifer has a lot going on between maintaining a big household and dealing with her parents' situation, dealing with her husband, dealing with kids, being at home, which I know and I can relate to because I have children as well who are virtually learning. It's a lot of pressure. And Jennifer is trying to be the best housewife that she can be with all these layers, right? Marge, on the other hand, is dealing with, you know, she is at a stage in her life where she doesn't have small children. She has her mom that she's best friends with, who we love, Marge Sr. But she also has a past with Marcy Sr. that she talks about in her book. And we actually follow that storyline. You know, Marge looks at her mom differently, and maybe for Marge, she wasn't like the best role model, but she did what she had to do, right, to survive and to be the best mom Marge Sr. could for Marge. So I think what happens is Marge is looking at Jennifer as, you need to be a better role model for your children. In her mind, in the sense of like, don't be drinking a lot of, you know, getting drunk in front of your friends. Don't be saying things unfiltered. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Jennifer is doing anything wrong, but Marge's perspective on Jennifer is different. Does that make sense? It's very...
No, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we see it with the whole Instagram Live, right? Yes. And Margaret's kind of like, you're just tone deaf. Like, you're just tone deaf. Right. And you don't really think about what you're saying and who you're saying it in front of or to sometimes. And right. I don't know if Jennifer totally gets that, or maybe Margaret's approach could be a little bit different to Jennifer. I don't know.
I think you're saying something very smart here. It's the approach, right? Maybe yeah. Marge just needs to tell Jennifer, look, this is what happened with me and my mom growing up. And these are the things that maybe I resented or didn't resent or felt she could have done better, right? We all have that relationship with our parents.
Yeah.
And maybe in her mind, she's saying she's out there in the world on Instagram saying all these things. And what are her children thinking? Or what are they feeling? Are they okay with it? Is it going to affect them? And I think it's the approach. I also think Jennifer should just listen and maybe approach it different as well.
Yeah. Maybe be a little bit more receptive and just take in the recommendations. She doesn't have to apply all of them at once to her life.
No, but... she doesn't have to apply. She's a grown woman. They are all grown women who will make their own decisions and should make their own decisions. I think we just need to listen more.
Right. Listen more and talk less. I think that's a couple of the things that the women have said to Jennifer in so many ways over the years of like, maybe listen more and talk less. But you know, that there is something almost charming about Jennifer when she gets that way.
I was just going to say, and I'm sorry to interrupt, you know, there's something, you know, that I love about Jennifer. She's authentic. It's who she is. Like, you are getting who Jennifer Aiden is. There's nothing more or less. She's not putting on airs. You know, she is unfiltered. She may like, you know, Chanel, but she also may like $10, you know, pants. Like, this is who she is. And there's something refreshing about that. And that's something that I gravitate in the sense of like, she's not putting up any front, quote unquote. And I like that.
Yeah, me too. And I think a lot of what we've seen in her storylines over the years with the things that her family is going through, they show that real, authentic, everyday mm-hmm. Jennifer that, you know, she can be over the top and eccentric and whatever. But when we see the things that she goes through with her family, it brings us back in again. Yes. And you're like, oh yeah, this is still a woman who's going through a lot in her life, despite, you know, the glitz and glamour of it all and whatnot.
Yes. I mean, last season we delved into bullying and what that was doing to her daughter. Yeah. Now she's in a situation with her parents that are arguing and bickering, and she's in the middle and she's trying to make peace and make her parents happy. I mean, that's a story we haven't touched on a lot of Bravo shows. I'm actually, you know, my parents come from another country and they think very differently. And, you know, there's regrets on both ends. And that's something very real.
Yeah. You know, I think back to, I think it was Jennifer's first season, and we see her and her mom go dress shopping. Mm-hmm. And I think Jennifer is feeling a type of way in her marriage. I mean, it wasn't anything crazy at the time. I don't remember specifically what it was, but her mom was very much like, you shouldn't complain. Like, don't worry. Like, you know, you have a great husband. That's all it is. And at the time, yeah, it kind of felt like, well, why isn't she being more considerate of Jennifer's feelings? But looking back on it now and knowing how her mom felt in her own relationship with Jennifer's father, I think her mom was like, you don't know how good you have it with Bill because he's so smart and he cares about you and he's handsome and successful. You know, so it kind of tied it all together, knowing what her mom has been going through this season.
Yes. And, you know, her mom, again, this is everyone's perspective, and you see it play out. Like, her mom is feeling a certain way about her father. Her father's feeling a certain way about her mother. And, you know, they are both entitled to their feelings. What I like about Jennifer is that she does bring her family in the forefront. We do go through a journey every season with her. And, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work maintaining a household and, you know, having your husband happy and having the kids happy and doing well. And especially during these hard times where everyone is stuck in the house. And maybe she just needs a little help.
Right, right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's all relative, you know? Like, Jennifer yes. still is entitled to her feelings, even if she does have money or a housekeeper, whatever it may be. You know, she's still going through the stresses in ways that other people might not be, but it is still, you can't just
right.
not validate right. her feelings at some points, you know? Okay, well, I want to move next to the psychic party that Teresa throws, because obviously we love a good Housewives psychic moment. I mean, every, you know, like, that is just, I feel like, such a perfect thing for Housewives. So talk a little bit about how this came to be, because I know you had a personal connection to the psychic.
I did. So the psychic came to be in a odd way, but interesting way as well. I had a reading with her prior to her being on the show. And when I was discussing it with the team, I found out through the team that Teresa had also had a reading with her as well. So there was a connection there. I spoke to Teresa and asked her, you know, what she thought of the psychic, if she felt like she was, if she felt like she was quote unquote real, or, you know, anything that came about it. And she did. And we shared something in common where, you know, at the time she lost her father early April, on April 3rd, it was the same time I lost my son's father. It was the same day. And she had told her a lot. Gina Marie, the psychic, had told Teresa some things that were coming down the pipe. When I had the reading with Gina Marie, it was prior to my son's father passing. But then I had another reading with her because he passed. And there were some things that I needed to, you know, I needed some closure. And, you know, long story short, Teresa felt she wanted to bring Gina Marie onto the show and do an event because she felt that Gina could help the women in some sort of way or validate things that they were going through personally, like she did for her. And I felt like that was a really great idea because this person, this psychic, did for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's so wild because I think even if you're a skeptic, Gina Marie will make a believer out of you.
I think so. I mean, I'm not going to go into the nitty gritty of my reading, but
no, of course.
This is what I mean, Eric, when I say, like, when I'm part of a production or I'm part of a show, I really dedicate a lot of my time into the show, the women, the production, the team. I'm their biggest cheerleader, and I want it to be as authentic and real as what the viewer is experiencing at home.
Yeah.
And this is a, is a perfect example of taking something personal and bringing it to the show.
Wow. I mean, that is a wild, wild story. And I think just from what we see on the show in the readings with all of the women and the way that they react to what they're hearing, it's just incredible. I mean, whatever you may believe, there is something. And I think Dolores, we talked about it yesterday, Dolores says something that is kind of just like, you know, it just goes to show that there's got to be something beyond all of this, you know, whatever Gina Marie is tapped into, there's something there. And you can't walk away from what she shared without thinking like, okay, there's got to be something more than all this.
Right. And obviously there's, you know, people that believe or don't believe in that, and that's fine. It's just, again, we're just bringing in a different layer into the show that has you say, aha moment.
Yeah.
And might go away or might stay with you. But I think that the women, if when you see the episode, I think the women really related to her. And I think it was great. It was a great moment. And she's from New Jersey. It's very authentic to the women. So...
Right, absolutely. Gina Marie, I could have guessed maybe she was from Jersey, you know?
You should have a reading with her and see what she tells you.
I know. I think, well, actually, my co-host, you know, Megan looked into doing it, and I think she's not taking appointments until like August or something. So maybe it's a little far out, I think, for some of the questions I might have. But, you know, maybe I'll book something in the next couple of weeks. Who knows?
It's a fun episode, I think, for everyone to see it all. And you get some interesting revelations on like, wow, I didn't know Jennifer this, or I didn't know Marge that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
I know. Well, and then also, in Teresa's reading, we essentially at this time get this confirmation that Teresa has a new man in her life. So obviously, Teresa's being very private about Louis at this point. So why do you think Teresa's being so hush-hush about her relationship?
I think that Teresa, like any adult woman who starts dating again, wants to keep things a little bit hush-hush. Not only because you're afraid that something may or may not go wrong. If you start telling people, hey, I'm dating this great guy and it doesn't work out, you kind of feel a little like, should I have said anything? Also, remember, she is in the public eye. She has gone through a lot of public things and her children are watching. And, you know, I know that when I started dating again, I didn't bring anyone around for a couple of years to my son. So I think that's important that you want to make sure that you're okay with it and that your children are okay with it. And, you know, there's some kind of privacy that even though we're opening up our world to and opening up the cameras to, you want a little bit of, you know, privacy there as well.
Yeah. Well, as someone who's known Teresa for so long and seen everything she's gone through, what can you tease us about Louis and how their relationship is now?
We do talk about him. The women do find out. Teresa validates that as well. And he, you know, is part of the show at some point.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll stay tuned for that.
Yes.
Last thought on Jersey, because I do want to chat a little bit about some of your other shows as well. But I know that the reunion is shooting soon, I think possibly like this week. So what are your predictions? Who has the most like unresolved issues?
I don't want to bring this back up because, you know, like I said, we've kind of gotten over the hump, but I think there's going to be a lot of resentment and anger and emotions with this Jackie and Evan situation. I think, you know, as you know, when the women start to watch the shows back, they're seeing other topics that come up or resentment or things that they thought they resolved, and it just bubbles back up.
Yeah. Well, I've heard too, and I'm sure you've experienced this many times, a lot of it comes from their interview moments where someone will say something, they'll add a comment on something that maybe has already been put to bed or not completely put to bed, and that opens up a whole new can of worms.
Well, yeah, they're wounds that like open up again, and it's like throwing salt on a wound. It's just like you're reliving it, you're hearing their quote-unquote true thoughts in the confessionals versus in scene. There's things that, you know, I think Teresa might be learning from what, you know, Marge is saying about her and what Melissa's also thinking, and also Melissa opening up to her relationship with her, with Teresa's boyfriend. I don't know if she's very happy about that. So I think that that's all going to come up in the reunion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely going to be quite the show.
It's
going to
be quite the show.
I can't
wait.
That's
all I have to say in like big caps.
Right. That'll be the headline out of this podcast episode, just all capitals. All right. Well, that was awesome. Thank you for sharing all of that Jersey stuff. I mean, this season is just so incredible, but let's pivot a little bit over to Below Deck, which couldn't be any different, I guess, than Real Housewives of New Jersey. But especially with this last season and the way it just, you know, so abruptly ended and ending the season so early, like two charters out the window, and all because of COVID. So talk about what it was like going through that experience. I don't want to like bring you back to probably one of the more traumatizing times, but I mean, it must have been just absolutely crazy.
It was crazy. You know, the episode where Elizabeth gets fired, that was true to what was happening, where, you know, Francesca couldn't keep going or moving forward with having her on her team. After that episode, we thought we had two more charters going in. We did not know we were only going to have two more episodes. I mean, we were moving forward as if nothing was going on until that moment that you saw that Captain Lee gets that text saying, you know, we've canceled two charters. At that point, everything was shutting down. Borders were shutting down. Airports weren't letting. I was on a plane coming back from Miami. So that was the craziest experience that I had to live through, trying to, you know, coordinate with the production team who handled it beautifully, getting everyone home safe and sound. Because at that point, Eric, we had two more charters coming up the pipe. And we had Josiah waiting in the wings, actually.
That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who Captain Lee said on that episode, I have someone waiting, and he had Josiah waiting to kind of take over Elizabeth.
Oh, I love Josiah.
I know. He was on Galley Talk, which I was helping on as well. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So to me, that was like the most craziest, authentic time ever. And I just want to make sure that that's expressed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the scariest part of it all too at that time probably was the uncertainty. Not only were you guys dealing with like the production of this show and making sure everybody was safe, but just the uncertainty of it all and not really knowing what we were about to face at that time.
Yeah, we had no idea what we were going to face. I mean, we really don't. And I think the concern was for the production team as well. Like the crew, the cast, the production team, everything was, like you said, the uncertainty of it all was scary.
This season, we also saw like a really emotional side of Captain Lee. I mean, he had just lost his son not too long before the season had started. So what was that like? And have you seen a change in him since that happened?
He has changed, but not so much in the sense of he's opened up, I think, on speaking about this problem that we're facing with a lot of us who have maybe lost people in our past because of this epidemic. I think Captain Lee is one of those people that, you know, picks himself up and keeps moving forward. And that's what I love about him. But I did see a softer side to Captain Lee. And I think it's really great that he spoke about it because it really helps to educate others when dealing with this issue. You know, here we were talking internally, is this something that we want to have him talk about? Because we didn't want to exploit it either. That's very important. So we had a conversation and he wanted to.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that, again, we're not here to tell you what we want from you. That's not the shows that we're producing. we are just capturing what's happening in real life.
Yeah, with what you're willing to share with the with yes. us. Yeah, I mean, watching him say goodbye to Eddie in that finale episode and talking about, I mean, I'm getting emotional thinking about it now. It was just like,
I lost it. I at that point when he was saying goodbye, I said, oh my God, it's over. Like, it's just done. Yeah. Like, goodbye. You know, I cry every time. Every time. It's very emotional. It's very emotional. I think you know, to make these shows, Eric, is like you really put a part of your heart in each of them. And yeah, you know, you either you learn from them as even going through your own life, you relate to them. I think that being a really good producer, you need to be able to relate to the cast at some level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. Sympathy and empathy, it goes a long way, even in your career.
Sympathy and empathy, yes. Sympathy and empathy. And you have to have fun at the same time. I mean, that's why I got into this type of business. It's like, I do want to have fun. It's not all about, you know, business. It's really having fun, telling great stories, relatable stories, emotional stories, uplifting stories. That's what's important to me.
Currently with our programming, like there's always some Below Deck to watch. So there's just never a shortage, which I'm obsessed with. And, you know, a reminder for everyone listening, if you're missing Below Deck, if you're missing Captain Lee, you can watch it on the Bravo app. Okay, so let's talk Family Karma because we know season 2 is coming. Will we be seeing some new faces this season?
We will be seeing some new faces, but I think what's most exciting about season 2 is the aunties and their role in season 2. They are very secondary storylines. They are very much part of what's happening in their children's lives. And it's something that we really wanted to do last season. And, you know, with any first season, there's a lot of formulas and formats you need to figure out.
Right.
And I think our goal for season 2 was to really incorporate the aunties more. And we've accomplished that.
Okay, so is Bali considered an auntie? Or because like, she's kind of in between, right? And I'm obsessed with her. I love her so much. Like from the second I saw her on my TV screen, I was like, I love you. I think I told her that in my first interview with her. But like she kind of rides in between the two age groups.
Yes, Bali does ride. She teeters from one to the next. And I think that's fun. I mean, I would love to do that. Be the cool aunt, you know, the cool auntie. And then you know, trying to tell you your 21-year-old daughter what to do as well, but also being fabulous at the same time. So I think she's having fun like playing both sides, and it's fun watching her do so.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to see some of O'Malley because I know that there was one conversation at one point that she was like, oh, I'm probably going to move to Ohio or whatever, be with O'Malley. And I was like, no, I was like, you better stick around in case there's a season 2. And lo and behold, we got a season 2.
I think she's, you know, her daughter came back because of COVID and the pandemic. Her daughter left New York and moved back in with her. She was going to school out in New York. And because of that, Bali didn't want to move. She felt like she had her daughter back. She was already feeling the empty nest syndrome. And once COVID hit, her daughter moved back and she decided to stay in Florida. I think the relationship with O'Malley is still ongoing and it's very strong. I just don't think it's the right time. Timing is everything.
Yeah, timing is everything.
As we all know, living through this crazy world of ours.
Right.
Trying to survive here.
Truly. You know, timing is everything. It's funny because the next thing I wanted to ask you about, the last time you were on the show, you were talking about how you wished Real Housewives of Miami would come back and you literally spoke it into existence because this reboot is coming to Peacock. So, I mean, are you thrilled?
I'm ecstatic. I worked on Miami about 10 years ago on the production side of it all. And ever since I started my career here at the network 2.5 years ago, I've been trying to advocate and cheerlead this project. As you know, we did announce that it's in development. We're just waiting to hear if it's greenlit or not, but we're doing as much as we can to make it a reality. But I have to say, you know, put things in the universe because I truly believe in that. And when you feel very strongly about something, you just fight for it.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of it being in development, what would you want to retain from the original and what would you want to be different this time around?
I think we need to incorporate some of the past cast members because there is this sense of nostalgia that people want to see. And see how they evolved or, you know, where they are in their life currently. But I think also wanting to show a different side of Miami, too, because it is a melting pot. And there's more diversity in Miami. But Miami's becoming very, very popular now because everyone's kind of fleeing the cities. And trying to, you know, now that a lot of people are working from home and people don't have to go into the office, there's a lot of people that are moving down there. And it's really growing even more.
Yeah. I mean, I do see people posting on Instagram, people I follow who live in Miami, and they're just like, look at the beach, look at all this stuff. And I'm like looking out my window and there's like 4 feet of snow. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I should, what am I doing?
I know. But I think Miami is one of those cities that, you know, we've shot there in the past and maybe not been able to capture what Miami truly is. And I think it's evolved. And Family Karma also helped that because, you know, yeah. Family Karma is based in the Miami Beach area. And I think that helped us. I think it helped a lot to see like, hey, there's a whole other lifestyle happening here. And it's still happening, but there's more now. There's more, it's more colorful, if you know what I mean. There's other communities. There's Eastern European, there's Latins, but it's mixed. There's Cuban, Venezuelan, Brazilian. It's not just one culture anymore. And I think that that's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't wait. I have my fingers crossed because, you know, Real Housewives of Miami is such a fan favorite and people have been talking about it for so long. So if you are a fan of the show, you can stream all of the episodes on Peacock. And if you haven't watched Miami, go to Peacock and watch it because there is some real magic there in those first couple of seasons.
There is some magic there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Well, Pamela, thank you so much for talking with me
gosh,
today. This has been so much fun. And
so
you are welcome
fun.
Back anytime. So yeah, maybe in a couple months, once some of these shows, you know, come back and whatnot, we can kiki again.
Yes, I would love that. I would love that. And maybe we could do our drinks again that we
I know, yeah, right? Like summer. Yeah, like maybe like May-ish.
Yeah, and we can meet down the shore. How about that?
I would love that. I would love that. All right, thanks
All right,
a lot, Pamela.
Thank you.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me one more time.
Want to park up and get your Big Mac brought to your car? Step one, place an order on the My McDonald's app. Step two, park in a click and serve numbered bay, enter the number in the app, and we'll bring your meal right over. So you can enjoy your Big Mac feeling like a big deal. New click and serve on the My McDonald's app. As simple as it sounds. Click and serve available at participating restaurants only. See mcdonalds.co.uk for full list. Serving times may apply. Do not download or use the app whilst driving.